Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nate Brown's in, as is Damien Barrett. Welcome, gentlemen.
Always good to be in here, Jim. It is the most beautiful September day. It's the warmest day, I think, since about April. It's beautiful out there. Isn't got a T-shirt on. I walk in here and Bill's got a turtleneck on.
You have?
I got a love bot.
Why have you got
a turtleneck, like a big Arctic knit on a day like today?
I haven't been outside. I woke up in Geelong, had an early meeting, and it was cold this morning and I haven't taken it off.
What did you have a meeting about?
Oh, it's a big meeting with council and electricians and plumbers and the boys at Riff Lino up there, upstairs at the wall shed. So well done, boys. It was a big meeting and I had to be there because I'm the owner.
Did you wear the turtleneck?
Yeah, I did. And they loved it.
Hey, nice to see you both. Of course, we're beginning Damo, the celebration of Spud.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to continue that, of course, Saturday, an hour and a half of some of the more entertaining stuff you'll ever hear, because that's what he was, as well as all the other amazing things, an incredibly entertaining broadcaster.
Absolutely, wasn't he? He had that sense of occasion, didn't he? And he needed to be part of everything on air, even when it didn't involve him and shouldn't have involved him, he had to be part of it. But I always, as it unfolded and as we sort of got to know him better, Jim, and it got it to the point where it didn't matter if it stuffed up. And on so many occasions, it was better for us, anyway, for the radio, if he did stuff up his planned gag. And I reckon that was his true genius, because he got it to the point where whatever he said, it was going to work in some form, either for him or for us. And either way, he was going to be happy with the outcome.
Very nice article, AFL Live, by the way, Damo, which did a great job of talking about your relationship with Spud, but all of our on-air relationships with him, and just how different he was, but how uniquely humorous he was.
Yeah, it was, Jim. And I mean, it just started, didn't it? It was every day, obviously. But Saturday mornings, usually about 6:45. He got up pretty early, and he'd probably had his bike ride already by then. But the phone would start buzzing about them, Brownie, on a Saturday. And he'd had plans, and he'd have multiple plans trying to work out which ones would work, which ones may not work. But he always gave the impression, at least initially, that he was just talking to me and me only. I knew full well he was talking to the others as well, trying to bring me down as well. And then he got so confused that the group text messages, he forgot that there were four or five recipients on the return, and everyone got what he was saying about them anyway. So we all knew it was coming, didn't we, Jim, by the time 12 o'clock rolled around.
And so easily gettable too. Like, I'd drive off from where I live, and Spud lives very close. You know, the Frawley house wasn't far from where I was. Drive along Beach Road every Saturday to get to the Rub Knife. And every time I'd give it the, what about the traffic along Beach Road? I said, you know, those cyclist lycra-wearing wankers just taking up one of the lanes. Spud would go, how bad are they? Yeah. And then I'd go, Spud, you're one of them. You do it every day. He just forgot that he was actually a cyclist himself. But you played under him for a season at Richmond. Tell us what that was like.
There's so many funny stories you could tell about being, and it wasn't a great season. Obviously, we ended up on the bottom, but there's obviously the Brad Ottens one where Brad Ottens thought that Spud was being locked up as well. Spud went down to get him out of jail, but he had to catch a cab down there because he'd already had a few himself that night, Spud. Yes. But one of the funnier ones I ever saw, and we're out in the track one day, and David Roden, one of the great gentlemen of AFL football, was playing with us at the time, and continually late. He was just 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, miss a meeting, and Spud had lost it. Spud had given him enough leeway, and he goes, all right, everyone come in here. And this is as D-Rod's running out of the rooms, and he has to run. We're probably over the other side of the oval, so he's got 150 metres to run before he gets to the group. And Spud's like, okay, because we all had heart rate monitors on with the watches. Yep. Everybody, take your watch off. So everybody took their watch off. Now go and put them on D-Rod. So about 10 watches up one arm, 10 watches up the other arm. Oh, no. He goes, D-Rod, now go and run laps. Make sure you do them in good time.
10 watches on either arm. But you were in the room, the famous, when he brought the pump.
The under the pump.
Held it above his head.
Yep. No, nobody knew what he was talking about either. Like, he's put this pump above his head and he's gone, what am I? And he tells it beautifully, because he had to say, what am I, at least four or five times, because nobody really got it. That was the genius of Spud, as you said. Nobody got his jokes, but they worked.
And what about the time when...
And he was...
Under the pump.
Under the pump.
Yeah. It was an old air compressor that he held above his head.
Just explain it a bit better, no?
Bill, Radio Craft.
No, a bit of Radio Craft.
Thanks, Bill.
And Bill, we discovered too that he was telling that story sometimes three times a week at the various sporties he was doing in the cashies. Yeah. And then Justin Kaczynski came in one Friday, I think it was, or Saturday, whenever it was. And he was on 199 games, and there was, at that stage, no guarantee he was going to get to 200. Yep. And then he had a good relationship with Spud, and he raised it on air. Spud, how many times have you told that story this week? Spud turned on him and genuinely had this moment of bitterness that, I hope you don't get to 200 games. It's just a... back.
What about, and we don't want to cannibalise too much of what would be discussed Saturday, but one of my favourite ever of stories of Spud, and the mayonnaise truck that Spud used to bring to our story was extraordinary.
Yeah.
He flew down with a group of businessmen to Bunboogle to play in a corporate golf thing, and quite frighteningly, the pilot on the way down forgot to put the landing gear
out. That's right.
So they belly landed on the airstrip next to Bunboogle. Spud trod over four blokes to get off first, just in case the plane was on fire.
Yeah.
And I'd been told this, Nave. Someone rang me and said, you got to ask Spud about the plane landing. I reckon it might have been Lowy, actually. I reckon he rang me, got to ask Spud about the plane landing and ask him where in the queue he got off on the plane. So he said, geez, Spud, that would have been pretty bloody frightening there. No land without any... Oh, mate, it was. It was a crash and bang and we bloody landed and... I said, so where were you on the plane? Like, because you must have been all in a sort of hurry to get off. Mm. Oh, no, I was at the back. I was one of the last ones to get off. I said, last ones. Yeah, I was down to one of the last ones. Anyway, Spud didn't know that we had two blokes from the plane ready to ring. So I just said, Spud, I'm going to give you one more chance to tell us where on the plane you got off. Anyway, so the first bloke rings.
Yep.
Spud pushed me aside to get off before me. And then the other bloke rang and said, mate, we were all in a queue trying to get off. And Spud pushed us all aside to get off first. Silence. And Spud goes, all right, I might have been off quicker than you. He couldn't help himself.
But he reckons that bloke didn't put down the wheels because it was because of Spud. He was in awe of Spud. He's a mad Richmond supporter or St Kilda supporter, and he just loves Spud, and he forgot to put the wheels down.
There are literally purple thousands of stories you can tell about.
And we're only going to have 90 minutes, aren't we, Jim, on Friday when we do attempt to do justice to what was one of the great media careers.
It's must listen.
Oh, it is. And legitimately terrified of Gary.
That was the other intrigue on it.
So this big, rough, tough, 240 game, fullback that used to punch on with Gary Ablett and all that. Gary would just have to walk into the room with a slightly different opinion to Spuds, and he would change it.
As you said yesterday when we were having those beers to acknowledge Spud, Jim, he could have an assessment of how a game played on the Friday night that in his mind was how it was won and how it was lost. Gary could come in and have the opposite opinion, and then that was Spud's opinion.
You're right, Gary.
Within 20 seconds.
No, you're right, Gary.
5 seconds.
You're right, Gary. No, you're right, Gary.
He held the line for a good 20 seconds.
All he had to do, Gary, was just shift ever so slightly in his chair just to turn around and look at him, and whatever Spud was about to say about Gary wasn't said.
No, it was just brilliant. So we're going to have some fun on Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure you're listening. Hey, Toby Green, Nafe.
Yep.
Are you fortunate to be playing or the right decision?
No, I think it's the right decision. I mean, GWS went after them with a plan. Maybe he went a little bit further than the other players, but he's genuinely...
A little bit further, Brownie.
He's genuinely got something in him that is just a competitive beast, Toby Green. And he takes things to the nth degree. I'm glad he's playing because it's better for the final series. The Bulldogs medical report helped him out. But, I mean, I'm reading on Twitter and a lot of people saying that it's not the 80s, you know, you need to get past it, thuggery and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, there were so many things that, I mean, he got upended a couple of times. I mean, when people start writing Twitter things that, you know, you could go to jail for doing something like that out in the normal street, you got to realise this is a game of football and it's been like that for 100 years. So I'm glad Toby Green's playing. He's one of the most watchable players in the competition. A lot of people don't like him. A lot of people hate him, but I love him.
He was always going to play, Damo.
Yeah, he was. We discussed it Monday, didn't we, Bill, before the tribunal hearing, and had that sort of feel to being a nicely prearranged outcome, Jim. And look, the system is just set up to have players play. There hasn't been a suspension, I think, since June or July this year. And we know once it's finals, you'd have to take someone's head off to actually be possibly receiving a week. And that's what they do.
No, I'm with you, Nafe. I'm glad he's playing. But watching the first sort of 25, 30 minutes of that game and how much heat the Giants brought, I don't know whether you were like me, but I'm watching it going, good. Where's this been?
Yeah.
You know, it's the one thing they haven't had in their armory. They've got so much skill and extraordinary talent on their list and all the rest of it. But that was genuine finals heat and they sustained it.
And the question we posed, Bill, at quarter time was, can they do it for another three quarters?
Right.
They've been really good for this first quarter, but that's their issue. Can they do it? And now the question is, can they back it up this week? I mean, from all reports, Leon Cameron gave them an almighty spray during the week in the lead-up, aired some things that I think some media people, some respected media people had said about them during the week, and that got them up. That got them angry. That got them where they were. Can they bring that again this week? That's going to be the question.
That is the question, because we've seen Port Adelaide do that for 1 week and next week being terrible. So that's what we'll be all looking for.
But you can't play like that every week. It's just impossible.
But you can bring something.
It's impossible to bring that much aggro and that much heat every game. I mean, not even Hawthorn do that. Back in their day, Hawthorn were niggly at their best. Yeah, but, I mean,
that's right.
They didn't do it over the top every week. If you have to do it over the top every week to get yourself up, then you're not going to go very far.
But this is another final, and it's a sudden death final, so they should bring that attack on the footy.
Yeah,
I know the other stuff might fall.
A young Brisbane outfit, without a doubt. And I'd be going after Charlie Cameron. He'd be the one I'd be targeting, because he looks to me be the only one that can take the game away from him. I mean, he's been down for a couple of weeks playing against Grimes. He's due for a breakout, a 4 or 5 goal game. I can't see anybody else in that side kicking 4, 5 or 6 goals. If they can target Charlie Cameron the way they did Bontem Pelly, then they're halfway there.
And a Brisbane outfit without its key protagonist in Mitch Robinson to combat the type of outlook we expect the Giants to now have.
Big bodies too, aren't they? Toronto's a big boy. Hopper's a big boy. They're big, strong boys.
And I'd be tagging Lachie Neal too. Matty DeBoer, go and do what you did to Bontem Pelly. Tag him, take him completely out of the game. And then we see how good are these youngsters coming on the edges.
And then they've got, if they do get through that, the Giants, they've got the intrigue around the possibility of Stephen Cornelio then being made and rushed back into a preliminary final team. He won't be too far away if he misses.
How are you seeing Friday night then? The Cats must start well, must kick goals early.
Yeah, negative 80 in their last three finals in first quarters. Very, very hard to take. Dangerfield looked like the only person who could take it away from them last week. I just think West Coast have got too many avenues to go, too many big game players, too many midfielders who get multiple disposals. You look at Geelong right now and you'd say Dangerfield's probably the only player that's going to get 30 plus and you can rely on that. Whereas West Coast have got Shuey, they've got Sheed, they've got Gaff, they've got Yo. All these players can get 30 plus and really dominate. And I find it very hard to see a winner for the Cats and the way they can win.
How do they negate Nat Nui is the other thing.
Well, Reece Stanley comes in for starters. We'll have a look at the weather forecast, and I think Reece will come in, and he's just got to go with him. He's just got to go with him. Now, you know what he does, Nick Nat, don't you? He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 effort, so he's just got to go with him.
But also, his first hand against Essendon was extraordinary, where he was just dropping the ball into the walking lanes.
And that's where Reece is all right, actually. He can jump. And
yeah,
so
he can. But is he going to get his hands to it? Because he's going to get jumped over the top of.
Yeah, but I think Reece is your best. I wouldn't want to see Blitzard's doing it, or maybe...
Oh, Blitzard has to go back. You've got Kennedy and Darling up there, so he has to go back.
Reece is your man. He's just got to go with him. Big, big challenge for Reece.
All right, let's take a break. More of the Midweek Rub after this, Rabsy. Midweek Rub, we've got Bill, of course, here, as is Naif and Damo. We're talking about big, big finals coming up. Of course, the Lions hosting GWS and the Cats and the Eagles. Now, every year, Damo, we think to ourselves, righto, well, there's straight sets, this mob are cooked, and yet 99 times out of 100, they bounce back and win the next week.
Yeah, we go off the freshest evidence, don't
exposed
we? That being the losing qualifying finalist is about to go out in straight sets and they're going to blow it up again. And then we get seduced by the win of the team in the elimination final. And by the time Thursday comes around, though, on Friday, I reckon our thoughts, as a rule, have then sort of corrected themselves back to what is the case. But, I mean, to Bill's point about, and Brownie's point about West Coast and the options they've got through the midfield and up forward, to me, going into the two games, the two losing qualifying finalists, it's the Geelong team that's most vulnerable, in my eyes, significantly.
It was only a month ago that everybody had written off Collingwood. Couldn't make it. Yeah. People saying, are they going to finish 7th or 8th around there? All of a sudden, they're in a prelim. They've got 1 foot already in a grand final with a nice ride in.
As bad as they've been a week after the bye, I reckon if you find their second week up, their second run in, they've been very good, the Cats. So I don't know why, but I'm quietly confident they win this. Last week, I wasn't sure.
I think it's the complete opposite too. So the amount of games they'd lost after the bye, they'd won all the games the following week going into that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the defending the ground that worries me.
The wide spot, Jim.
When you watch Geelong play at the MCG, they find it so hard to go with the spread and defend the ground.
What they did last week is every time Collingwood got the footy or they had the ruck contest against Grundy, Blixarves would do the ruck contest, then bolt backwards and they'd have 8-9 players in the defensive end. Collingwood just picked them off. They had players out on the wings because there's so much space at the MCG. Collingwood just got all this free ball 70 to 80 metres from goal and they just kept banging in there, banging. It's just a weight of numbers where Geelong, it's so much easier to defend down at the Cattery because the ground's thin and you're able to come up and block off those, I guess, 45-degree angle, 60-metre out-from-goal passes and you can block them off. You can't do that at the MCG because you're defending an extra 40 metres of width, which is you just can't do and they can't adjust and you cannot play the same way.
No, but where they... Well, they won't because Blixarves will be down back, you'd think, and Reece will be in the ruck. But where they were good, Collingwood, was their 15, 20-metre kicks, I reckon. And those little dinky ones that they, and then they can play on from there. So that's where they're
more
really
space are. On the width.
Yeah, that's right.
Collingwood wouldn't have been able to do that down at Geelong.
No, not at all. So, no, I don't know why, but I'm confident the Cats win this one.
Okay. Just on the Pies, I know Jordan DeGoey is doing everything he possibly can, Bill, by going across to Germany to try and get this hamstring fixed, but I just don't see it happening. I don't see him playing Brownie for a total of 2 minutes since round 19, and the stresses and the pressures and the risk attached to then having him back if they do indeed make a grand final.
Spoken to as he arrived in Munich, our man Jordy DeGoey, ever listen?
Jordan DeGoey faces mission impossible.
What are you hoping to get out of your time here?
I'd say just in time for Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest, how good is that?
That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
In the right place. We're just talking before about how the media has changed in the last 20 years. Like, you can't even fly to Munich without getting door-stopped as you get off a plane.
Exactly what is he going to do there, Damo? Tell us the exact procedure.
Well, it's a course tailored to the individual. So the what we have known with Max Rook and also Darcy Moore and Jamie Elliott, lots and lots and lots of injections. Right. Lots and lots to the point where it's just so painful. You have a couple of hours break, more injections. There's, as you were alluding to the other day, Bill, there's calves, blood attached to it. It's all supposedly above board, but it's very adventurous.
You don't think it is above board?
Oh, no, you have to take it. There's no way the AFL would allow it to happen if it wasn't. But it's cutting-edge stuff. Oh. Absolutely cutting-edge stuff.
Jeremy Howe we had on in the first hour. He said it was pretty good. Positive news early on. I assume he spoke to him, Damo. Did you hear that interview with Jeremy?
No, I didn't. But, I mean, that's what a teammate's going to say now, I would have thought.
He's not going to say it's... No, it's not.
And even if he hadn't had a history of hamstrings, if you go down in a qualifying final, you are a line ball at best for an appearance in a grand final 3 weeks later. That's before you've missed 6 weeks and lasted only two games in your...
They didn't miss him last week, though, and they've got a perfect replacement in Travis Varko, who in finals and grand finals is one of the cleanest players I've ever seen. I think he's perfectly built for a grand final, a big stage. So I'd be bringing Travis Varko in, and I mean, if they do get through to the grand final, I mean, Travis Varko is an unbelievable option to go in.
Yeah.
What about those two prelims, by the way? The 95,000 apiece.
Yeah.
Collingwood, Richmond.
Seriously, Gil McLachlan and the AFL hierarchy will have... They'll be firm downstairs just at the thought of it, Purple.
Well, they'll be happy, Jim.
One of the great paydays they've got coming up, those two games, will absolutely net them a mil each or close to. Anyway, all right, let's move on to some other stories around footy. Joe Danaher, what's going on there?
To me, it goes back to this time last week when he had a press conference for a non-Essendon-related matter. It was a private arrangement. He had the opportunity there and then to look down the camera and to answer the questions in a way that left you thinking he was going to stay at Essendon. He did the opposite to that. We're a week later. We've now got a teammate in Zach Merritt saying that he's going to be taking some time before he gets back to the club and says he wants to stay. He's contracted. It's now shaping up the way we probably felt it was going to, Jim, when we learnt that he did have that catch-up with Tom Harley, the chief executive of the Swans, some months ago.
But why does he have to say anything, Damo? Because he's contracted for next year.
It just clears it all up.
Well, just say that.
But it's easy to say, no, I've got a contract next year.
And that's what he did say. But he didn't say he's going to beat Essendon. Brownie, it's really easy. The cameras are rolling. You look down the barrel. You say, I'm contracted. And you know what? I'm actually going to play for Essendon next year.
Clearly, he's having a look around. So there's nothing wrong with that.
But that's my point. He's not going to be there.
You're 100% convinced now that you don't reckon he's going to
be. Well, 100% convinced that the Sydney Swans' involvement in his future is real. And what we do see, though, Jimmy, we when it comes to the crunch and you have to actually have to sign the document or make the commitment to go, you can wake up one morning and just back out, can't you? Like Andrew Gaff did about this time last year with the North Melbourne approaches. And like Stephen Cornelio did, at one stage he was out, but then he decided to stay. But right now, if you're an Essendon supporter and you love Joe Danaher, it's a really worrying time.
Is it related to not being able to get on the park? Because we have seen players move in the past who have just lost faith in the medical staff at the club they're at because they just cannot get them playing. So they've moved to try and, you know, start again. Is there any of that?
I think there's a bit of that. I think there's also the come to Sydney and have a lifestyle that will allow you to be the different person that he clearly is and likes being, and a change too. I mean, he's been around for some time now, hasn't he? I mean, it's 2013 when he was first involved with Essendon. So hasn't fulfill the talent that he's clearly got. That may sound harsh, but injuries and lack of conditioning, have impacted to him to the point where he's an unfulfilled talent right now as we speak.
Good for the Blues, Jack Martin, saying he wants to go there.
Well, it's become a destination club, hasn't it? Since they win 7 of their last 9, the Blues, and were travelling along nicely, so he would be perfect for them. They need some pace through the midfield because they've got bigger bodies through the midfield. They've got Cripps and a few other guys, and I think the other guys like O'Brien and these guys, I think they're going to be wonderful players over the next 12 months to 24 months. I think they've been forgotten about. They're high draft picks.
Paddy Dow.
Paddy Dow. All of a sudden, you bring in Jack Martin, who's got some class. They're going to be very hard to beat next year, the Blues.
Where would he play? You reckon midfield?
I'd play him through the midfield, yeah. Players like that who can use the footy and then can go forward and kick goals and mark above their head, like Jordan DeGoey. He's not the build of a Jordan DeGoey or a Dustin Martin, but to be able to play midfield and forward, it opens up so many avenues for your coach and for your team to be able to rotate other players through the midfield and not have players playing 90 or 95% in that midfield. If they play 70 or 75%, your output at your top end is a lot better.
Suns miss another one or lose another one, Damo?
Yeah, and that was announced, Bill, publicly on the very same day that the chief executive and chairman of the club went into the AFL asking for the draft assistance, which they want to get. So, look, to me, Brownie, I know what you're saying about the potential he's got, but to me, he's played just under 100 games, and I think he's an unfulfilled talent too for the ability that he clearly has. Now, it's been hard in that team.
Name any Gold Coast player who has fulfilled their talent under that system. They've all got talent.
That's a good point. I mean, Swallow has hung around, hasn't he?
Is it the environment they're in?
Yeah, and getting belted regularly.
David Swallow's a good player, but he doesn't have the talent of a Jack Martin or a Harley Bunnell or anything like that. But I just think that it's been the system they're in. They haven't been able to flourish the way they've wanted to, and a new system might be the best place for them.
And a lot have flourished after getting out, haven't they?
Sam Frost, we read, has created some interest in the market purple.
Yeah, look, I haven't, just for obvious reasons, Jim, with what's been going on, I am not aware of that one until I saw it just written there in front of us today. So I'd be doing the wrong thing if I was to engage in that conversation around him, Jim. Sorry.
Would you think, Nath, that he would be someone, well, they're talking Hawthorn, North Melbourne. North of course, Melbourne, we've got Scott Thompson to replace. Would Frosty be on your shopping list?
All right, Frost. I mean, he's a dour defender who can get the job done.
He's an athlete, isn't he? Too.
He's an athlete. Very good athlete. He's apparently the quickest on their list as well. So the issues with Frost is when he gets the footy. if they can tidy that bit up, and he becomes like an Andrew Dunkley from years ago, and the only thing he does is get the footy and handball to somebody who makes a better decision, then he becomes a really good asset.
And Hawthorn, again, look like they're going to make some tough calls. Paul Puopolo is being spoken about, Grant Birchall.
Yeah, and still the unknown about Isaac Smith, obviously, and what does Sean Burgoyne do with the offer that's in front of him from the Gold Coast Suns. What they did overnight, though, Jim, you might have touched on it before, but Jonathan Segler, who was a person of interest for the Southeast Queensland clubs and particularly the Brisbane Lions, actually. Yep. They were really keen on him, and at one stage they felt they had done enough work to get him, but he's decided to stay. So he had a good last 6 to 8 weeks, I thought. A really good 6 to 8. And it's good for him to be able to finally get some continuity because his body has let him down pretty regularly.
Yep.
Why did the Virgin Australia Grand Final week party get axed, Domo? You were blind there last week, the last year. Why has that been
that, that was the party to get to.
It was. Yeah. A Wednesday of Grand Final week, you go to the Virgin Grand Final
party. It's a dangerous one to go to, too, because it just left you very tired for the weekend, Bill.
It did, yes.
No, I hadn't been for a couple of years, but that was always the one to go to.
Why?
I don't know the reasons behind it, Bill.
Maybe the pink eye, that's cleaned up, too.
Yeah. Shame.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It's a shame because it was a great event, wasn't it? It was Channel 10 had it before Virgin.
Yep.
And it was always, you know, the Wednesday night, grand final week, and people could...
it was the most relaxed night of the whole week.
Let their hair down.
Exactly right, Bill. Put their sort of glad rags on and get themselves dressed up and go
it's usually
nuts.
themed, yeah, it which is not a strong suit of mine, Jim, getting dressed up and theming up. Yeah.
No, I used to go as a nerd every year. You did that well.
Well, have a listen to Bill.
Yeah.
And Bill's actually laughing at his own joke.
Remember that night we got Paddy Dangerfield and he was still at Adelaide and we're buying him beer saying, well done, you've come to the Cats and all that. Because that was the whisper and I think everyone knew. And I think eventually about 3 a.m. we got it out of him.
I'm hearing Damo might have done some acting for the Sunday footy show in a couple of weeks. No. some real sort of tough guy acting.
No.
In your tough car?
Something as lame as that when I did for the footy show a couple years ago, Jim, in the portable loo.
There's some real ordinary stuff.
Have you?
Is this for a cold opener?
Yeah. For Damo.
Bill, I've heard you've been involved in something that's funny.
Guess where old Pigeonhole has to go?
Where?
To the pub. Yeah, pub.
Bill, my mail is real sort of eye-drying stuff, yours.
No. It was, I had to scull half a pot 10 times.
How many pots did you have, Bill?
I kept getting it wrong. Well, I had 5 pots.
Hey, good to see you both, boys. Damo, can't wait to chat to you at 12 o'clock, of course, when we have a good look at the great careerist, bud.
Yeah, it's going to be an unfortunate way to deal with it, Jim, but at the same time, one that I think we all individually and collectively are looking forward to being able to do for him.
Good luck, guys.
And it's great that SEN and Triple M get together and do this.
Absolutely well
done. You guys will do it justice.
Fitzy
well
and Hutchie, of course. Thanks, Nath. Good to see you.
Well done, Jim.
Leaving me to box on my own tomorrow, which is an appalling thing.
Just reading on the socials, I've copped a little bit. They're saying that I should be there and put, because Gary's on it, that I'm not going on it. Now, that is not...
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
No,
exactly.
No, it's because of the people that are on the show, which is BT, Damo, Gaz and myself, are the people that worked with Spud on the Saturday rub over those years.
And
so
we
it's
just
got nothing
came,
to do with you not being...
Exactly, because I only come, the last couple of years. Yeah, I wasn't part of that.
But don't worry about those people on social media, Bill.
No, no,
ever,
I know,
ever, Bill.
Block them like Damo
seriously,
does.
Just
he's blocked 6,000 people.
6,000, Damo.
7, I think.
Oh, Mark Rooms.
Good to see you both.